SiriusXM Sports presents At the Races with Steve Bick. Enough! Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
From Belmont Park, a very good Wednesday, race fans. Sirius 219, XM 201, Sports Zone 964, if you're listening to Sirius XM online, and at our website, stevebick.com. I might have even started this by saying good Wednesday, race fans and smoke eaters, firefighters. That revelation yesterday, and I have completely, as I said, missed the headlines about the Canadian wildfires, literally from Nova Scotia across the country, but for our purposes in particular, the ones in eastern Canada, in Nova Scotia and Quebec, creating a steady chimney effect of not soot, but just haze, smoke haze. And depending on where you are, yesterday in the evening, went to dinner with the Siakas, and went to Mateo's in Belmore? Is that Belmore? It was terrific. And when we went in, we saw the haze. And for those of you that haven't seen pictures of the sun through the haze, the orange orb, it's spectacular. In terms of the visuals, but we literally came out, whatever, an hour and 45 minutes later, and the smell of the smoke was shocking. I mean, it hit you immediately. And, there's been concern, and they're monitoring it, obviously, and worried about it going, into the three-day racing festival tomorrow, Friday, and Saturday. We'll talk about this card. I as good as Thursday and Friday came up, Saturday's as good a Belmont Day card, I think, in anybody's memory. We'll talk to Ron Anderson later, and we'll see what Ron's thoughts are, because he's seen as many of them as anybody. But it is just unbelievable, so we'll talk about it soon. But the apparent progress of this is some worsening as the day goes on and tonight. But then at that point, it's expected that that's the tail end. And so, concerns about 50,000 people here on Saturday and even, even Friday, tomorrow. It seems like things are supposed to, improve after, let's say, the next whatever, 18 hours, I guess. I don't know, through tomorrow morning. It's very breezy today. And from that standpoint, I guess that's good. The more breezy it is, the faster, I guess, this moves. Although if it's breezy up there, it spreads the wildfires. So it's a mixed bag. So we'll keep tabs, and if there's anything that comes, forward. But otherwise, it should be an absolutely perfect few days here on Long Island. The card. Let's get to the card for a second. The Belmont itself. You're not worried necessarily about, a field of nine and any draw issues going the mile and a half. But Tappet Shoes draws the rail. You actually probably just heard me do this at the end of the replay. Tappet Shoes, the rail, 20-1. Tappet Trice, 3-1 from the two. Arcangelo, the three, 8-1. National Treasure, 5-1, your Preakness winner. From the four, the five, Il Miracolo, 30-1. Forte, 5-2 favorite. And I hadn't thought about it until just now, but is it assured that he goes favored? I suppose it is. The 6, Forte, 5-2. Hit Show, the 7, 10-1. In fact, Brad Cox and Joe Hardoon just came by here and are heading up to watch either a work or a gallop. And Angel of Empire, speaking of which, 7-2. Third choice, the 8. Flavian Brad and Blinkers are on. And Red Route 1, 15-1 from the 9. So there's your field of 9, top to bottom. It's hard to think that the Belmont could be anticlimactic, but I given it's the feature, and given it's the Triple Crown the tail end here, and the wrap up of the sequence and the Spring Classics, but holy cow, what's the best race of the day? The Jiper with 14. And with Dale Romans having Coppola on the E list, it is nuts. Casa Creed and Caravelle line up shoulder to shoulder, and it doesn't necessarily just come down to them, but it sure feels like the two of them are your overwhelmingly most likely winners. But it is a turf sprint. It's, you know, down, it's 6 furlongs, and in a long time it was 7, but it is really fun. Big Invasion for Chris Clement probably steps in next, and then, you know, there's a whole bunch of interesting other horses when it comes to how you're going to build tickets. Anxious to hear people's thoughts. The Metropolitan, is that the most interesting race of the day? Cody's Wish, 7-5 on David Aragona's morning line. And I guess. Yeah, all right, I get it. 4-1 on Repo Rocks. Zandon, 5-1. Charge It, 6-1. White Abario draws the 9. 10-1. Dr. Scheibel. Mark Glatt, you know how highly we think of Mark Glatt. And if he's here, he's dangerous and intriguing. Doug O'Neill shows up with Slow Down Andy as well. So there's all kinds of things going on. Doppelganger in here at 20-1 for Brittany Russell. And Hoist the Gold, Dallas Stewart, highly respectable. So terrific field of 9. For the Met, even without Taba's involvement, on and on. Woody Stevens, 13 horses. Shug, who's sitting right there next to us. Shug has got General Jim back here, 7-2. Arabian Lion, 4-1. I think, isn't there a chance that Arabian Lion goes favored when the bell rings? Fort Bragg, the second Baffert, 5-1. Rudy Brissett's got that federal judge in here. Chapman with Drew's Gold. And there's a lot going on in this. The 13-horse field for the Woody Stevens. The Ogden Phipps, it's one of those, you know, just talent type six-packs. Pass the Champagne. Search Results, a rank outsider. Game Stonks. But then Secret Oath, Played Hard, and Clarier. Yeah, the 5 principals in there, outstanding. The Brooklyn got 11. The poker, it's interesting. The poker, the Mile Turf event, 7 in here. And again, it's really well matched, and an aggressive pricing, I thought, of even money on Shea Pierre. Shea Pierre's very nice, and it might be your logical, but there's plenty happening in here. Chad Brown's got both Emirati and McKinnon. Suge with Dreams of Tomorrow, Anaconda, Joe Sharp, Emmanuel for Pletcher, and then that Fio de Ariana, who of Cassie's, who we remember last year, we got wind of that horse coming to North America, and there was what race was it? It was a mile, I think, on the synthetic that he. I got the PPs here. Remember the I'm gonna now I've got to look if I'm gonna bring it up like that because it was a terrific eye catching type of an effort, and then went from from strength to strength. Was it the I guess it was the Connaught Cup, or was it just the I guess it was the Connaught Cup, and then won the King Eddie, and started the year with a knocking the rust off away since last August. Came back and ran well in an allowance, got beat, but that Rockcrest came right back and won a stake Sunday at Woodbine that beat him, so he kind of ran into a hot horse. So Fio de Ariana. And I don't think we're gonna. Yeah, 4-1. You can't put pork chops past David Aragona. So that's a terrific race. I mean, it's just a terrific up top and bottom. We've got Elite Power headlining the True North early on the card. That drew just six. Brad Cox has got Strobe at 2-1. So anyway, it just crazy. I haven't even mentioned the Manhattan. When you get a chance to dig into this card, you're gonna be cross-eyed at some point as you look at all of these. So let me do a couple of things as we get going. We'll have a visit with Dick Powell shortly and Sid in a little bit as well. Maybe I'll save it for Dick and discuss it with us. Yeah, we're 12 minutes in. You know what? Maybe we'll get Dick right off the jump here. And if you haven't seen the New York Post, the New York Post has a piece. That is a very odd agglomeration of actually of okay and rational and responsible reporting, and then completely irresponsible and sensationalized stupidity, and for whatever reason they front loaded it with the stupidity. I it's just unbelievable. And then rationally discuss any element of the industry challenges. If you lobbed off the first half where it features a failed harness trainer famous for Facebook conspiracy theories, shocking, just unbelievable. Talking about an industry he's not involved in, meaning the thoroughbred racing community, and then the disgraced Wayne Pacell, who seems to be using the Churchill circumstance in an attempt to rehabilitate his completely tarnished reputation as a sexual harasser. That's who the Post utilized as their foundation for the piece. And then the sensationalized headline, not as memorable as Headless Body in Topless Bar, but up to 60% of racehorses are doped. Trainer warns during troubling death spree. Lots of illegal drugs. A guy who doesn't have a clue as to anything that has gone on at Churchill. And this is what the New York Post chooses to use. But what is so strange is that once they get their their smear job in with all the sensationalized elements, it then launches into some very valuable and give and take with Lisa Lazarus, and it's a very strange. I suppose from the Post, it's not strange, but if you lobbed off the first, I don't know, 6-7 paragraphs and just talked about what appears to be a spate of fatalities that are being heavily scrutinized for answers and for responses long term in Churchill's case, if you just did that, it would be valuable, but that's not what they did, and I guess it's not what they do as a tabloid product. I mean, in light of what we talked about yesterday, especially in those conversations, which I hope you enjoyed with Ken Hull, Ken and Ross yesterday. We talked about the media side of things and, how to convey things to, to the lay public. So anyway, let me bring Dick Powell in, and there's nobody more placid and level-headed than Dick Powell. Good morning.
Oh, yeah. Yes. Well, first off, Fred Hudson is an effing moron.
Yeah.
Now, here's a guy who was in the harness game, fought the USTA, not the U.S. Harness Racing Association, as the reporter writes, U.S. Trotting Association, because Russell Williams and Mike Tanner oppose HISA. And some very logical reasons, because some of the treatments that they were recommending did not work for harness racing, whose horses oftentimes run, with a week's rest. So they were against it. He was part of this movement to pass HISA. So he was one of the supporters, very vocal, obviously has a lot of opinions, and we see what they are. To say that the fact that the vets had examined the horses before the races suggested that they were drugged, something's got to be masking the pain or making them look sound when they're not. So what do you want? Do you want the horses to be examined by vets to make sure they're sound for racing? Or do you want to say, oh, that's an indication that the horses are not sound for racing, that the vets in there examine them? And the guy doesn't know anything. The reporter is even worse. I don't know who the reporter is. Just atrocious job doing this story. And yes, that along the way they did stumble upon a couple of good points and made some good points. But it's a hit piece. It's plain and simple. It's a hit piece. Now, I read the New York Post every day, my entire life. I don't see any difference between this and the hit pieces Joe Drake does. Joe might write better, but the stuff that he wrote, when he wrote about the New Mexico races and came up with this big, oh, we went through, computer people went through the charts and we looked at Van Dorf. So how many times were horses Van Dorf? And then a year later, I'm at Remington Park talking to a vet and just casually says to me, well, most of those Van Dorfs are because of the altitude, that they race in altitude at Rio Doso and the other tracks in New Mexico. And sometimes horses get in distress. So instead of having them walk back to the barn, they throw them in the van and band them back to the barn. But here's the New York Times with the same kind of hit piece. But don't let the facts get in the way of your narrative. So here's a narrative, big problems in Kentucky, maybe problems in New York, big race coming up in New York. And oh, by the way, the people who own my newspaper are broadcasting the race on Saturday.
Yeah.
Good seats are available. I wanted to put that in there.
Dick, always fabulous. I I read the thing, a few hours ago, and I, at first I'm like, you got to be kidding. And then once you get past the stupidity, then there's some actual, dialogue and conversation. And it's like, I guess because it's a tabloid and they want to sensationalize everything. But the characterization, this is like when they talk to that, when the Times, let's bring up another one, the Times Union, when they talk to the woman that hadn't had a starter in 18 years. And that was their source. That was their breathless source. I mean, it's just a little maddening to have to, try to offset, this kind of sensationalized material. How are you gonna, go knock on one door after another to explain to people, what is phony about the presentation? I mean, I just don't know how you offset some of this.
Well, the story comes out, so you're put in a reactive position, which is not the position you want to be in. However, I would be on the phone this morning with whoever the editor is of this person, publisher, people at the top, and just go over the mistakes. I can't challenge your tone and everything else. You want to have a hit piece, okay, but you got all these things wrong and you didn't even verify your sources.
Nope.
You have one source, and he's an effing moron. That's your source. And if you hear this guy on some of these harness shows, because he's like one of these, they have this harness show where they look back, great races of the past, drivers, trainers, things like that. Some of it's fun. And so he's been around the game. So for him to say, the things that he said, either he's showing signs of cognitive decline, he's just a bald-faced liar. But to take harness racing and their problems and slap them on the problems that we've had as if they're both the same. Yes, the universes sometimes overlap. From a guy who knows better, if you didn't know better, if you're just some reporter that gets a sign, hey, do a story of the Belmont, horses breaking down at Churchill, whatever. Maybe that's what the reporter comes up with because the person they talk to led them astray. But this is more than that. And this is when a hit piece happens. I mean, someone's making a phone call. Hit pieces don't happen because someone stumbles upon a story. Hit pieces happen when someone picks up the phone, gets on email, notifies someone in authority and says, hey, you might want to look at this, and here's some of the people you might want to talk to, including Wayne Pascal.
Yeah. I could go point by point through some of the things that Pascal said. Certainly for our audience, you can read it for yourself, and you'll.
I guess this is the fact that the vets are examining horses before races suggests that they were true. I mean, and unfortunately, someone got up this morning and read that and said,
Yeah, exactly. And then that's the problem.
And then if you make the mistake of reading the comments to the story,
I don't even. That I gave up. I stopped with that a long, long time ago.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's. I had to address this off the start, for because people are going to encounter it, and I'm sure it'll be the discussion point of the day. So, consider it, you know, consider it covered. Meanwhile, Dick, the we got a few things to do, obviously, between Hong Kong and some little press, but the Belmont sequence, these 3 days, this is as good a 3 days of racing, you know, using the stakes as the centerpiece. This is as good a sequence of days as I can remember.
Yeah, I fully agree. I looked at Saturday, and I'm like, oh no.
It's a little too good.
Well, you could say this is a great betting race, but when you got 14 horses and what is it? The Woody Stevens drew 14.
13 in Woody, 14 in the Jiper.
Yeah.
Yep.
globally, you go into a day like this, maybe you have a couple of opinions, hopefully they're right, but other than that, you got to spread. You got to bet less and more combinations. Can't be like me trying to hit a cold exacta or whatever, which I probably will do in Belmont. But the other races are just too tough. You just can't. And then with the big fields, you could have the right horse and never get to show it. So it's just, wow. This is awesome. And with the weather cooperating, it's sensational.
Yeah. It's the only thing to at least keep, you know, one eye open for is the, you know, the smoke thing. But that appears to be all right. So let me ask you, I mean, Belmont wise, let's start there, because it feels like you've got two horses you're focused in on, and how you're going to approach it.
I like Angel of Empire. I liked him in the Derby. There was nothing I saw in the Derby that would dissuade me. I like his workouts. I think he's coming into the race the right way. And I have to mutually avoid Todd. So I have to avoid Forte, and I have to avoid Tapa Trice. So my bet on Saturday is going to be Angel of Empire with Pedigree Play, Archangelo, Arrogate out of Tappet. Every speed figure has gotten better and just seems to be improving. Distance seems to help. Just Castellano, there's a lot of things to like about him. And then the 9, Red Root Run, who I thought ran a sneaky good Preakness considering what he was up against. And, you know, just maybe Joel will go back to being Joel that we always knew and loved. So I'm just looking like I'm looking at 8, maybe 3-9 over 8, maybe 8 with 3-9 key box. And if Todd runs first or second, it's not going to kill me because it's not going to pay much.
Fair enough. To me, my initial reaction is that, you know, Forte, to me, is a takeout neutralizer in this. So that's my starting point, and we'll go from there. A very savvy member of Derby Trail, who's got industry involvement on the West Coast, he was surprised that Brad Cox is putting the blinkers on Angel of Empire. And in fact, it was funny because he said that if he was going to put blinkers on a Brad Cox horse, it would be Hit Show. But that Angel of Empire, I mean, what he certainly wouldn't have wanted to have been any closer to the hot pace in the Derby. So the blinkers on, and of course, maybe when Brad comes down, I can snare him for a second and see what kind. It might just be cheaters, might just be a little, little trim cup. That's one of the things. Maybe that's the next level of information adjustment that we can seek out, which is you know, depth of the blinker, because I mean, some of them, like a French, right, the little French cup that is really nothing, you know, as opposed to a, you know, a full cup or a half cup, you know, the way they,
yeah.
There's a real difference in what they're, in what you're trying to do when you put the hood on a horse.
I mean, I saw it. I trust Brad. I assumed they worked him in it. I assumed they liked what they saw when they worked him in it. He's had 259 works at Churchill coming in, and I don't think he's going to run necessarily closer to the pace. I think he just might be a little more focused for Flavian.
Well, the you don't have any written. You're not going to have a piece, right, for the weekend.
You are correct.
All right. All right. Well, then there's the sole opinion that we're getting, at least when it comes to Belmont Day. If you come up with anything else, Nick, you let me know.
I will.
All right.
Will do.
Let's do Little HK.
Okay, we're coming up to race number 7. Last week, there were 2 Group 3s. First was won by Beauty Eternal. That was the 1,600-meter race. And I had touted him as a future stakes horse, and he's now a Group 3 winner. But the real story Sunday was Lucky Swainus.
Yep.
Winning that Group 3 in 108.00, carrying 135 pounds. It was his 8th win of the season, which equals Beauty Generation's win total. It's the most ever in one season. He might comes back in the Premier Cup on June 25th, which is 1,400 meters, which for him is easy as could be. And that would set an all-time Hong Kong record of 9 wins in one season. The question is not only how he came out of this race, but how it's been really hot and muggy there and stuff like that. But if you go back February 9th of last year, only 15, 16 months ago, Lucky Swainus made his career debut at Happy Valley. And since then, he's 13 for 17, 6.5 million U.S. earnings. By far the top dominant sprinter and probably the highest rated turf sprinter in the world. So he just keeps throwing down these awesome races. He's 4 years old, so still got a lot of big racing ahead of him. But that was great to see him over the weekend with the Twilight race. Now, very quickly, this weekend, Saturday morning racing, 4 o'clock in the morning, East Coast time. So you get up early, you watch Hong Kong, it takes up to about 8:30, maybe take a nap. Belmont starts at 11:20, so you can have some breakfast, some home fries, whatever you want. Get the marathon continuing. Today, quick pick 3. Race 7, we're going 1,800 meters at Happy Valley. There's a heavy favorite in here, number 1, Rocket Spade. I'm going to use him, obviously, but I'm going to throw in the 8, SJ Torbjörn, and the 12, Satirical Glory, just in case. So rather than just single the 1, I'll spread a little more than I normally would with the 8 and 12. So 1, 8, 12 in the first leg. Race 8, we're going 1,000 meters, but this is around one turn, not 1,000 meters of Sha Tin, which is the straightaway. 2 really good 3-year-olds in this race. Number 6, Seasons Wit, and number 10, Atomic Energy. Atomic Energy scheduled to carry 115 pounds, and he gets Angus Chung, 7-pound apprentice rider. So he's getting in real light. I think both of them lay over the field, so I'm only going to use the 2 3-year-olds in race 8. That's number 6 and number 10. And then in the 9th race, which is, the 4 is the favorite, Reward Smile. I'm just not crazy about him. His form coming into Hong Kong was average. He's had a couple of decent races here, but I think he's getting way overbet. He's down on the inside. If he doesn't break well, he could have a little traffic problem. So I'm going to try to beat him with number one, Excellent Piers, good hard knocking horse. Number two, Exponential, who won by a head last time out with Lyle Hewitson and Doug White. They've been a potent combination the whole meet. And number six, a three-year-old E-Universe, who had been running well in class four, dominated his last race, so they move him up to class three, but now he gets in at the bottom of class three, only 123 pounds, so I think he'll be formidable. So 1-8-12, race seven, 6-10 to 2 3-year-olds in race eight, and 1-2-6 in race number nine.
Very good. 3 by 2 by 3. And let's see, what are we, about 8-9 minutes?
They're still in the walking.
Okay, so 9 minutes, and Rocket Spade, 2-1. SJ Tourbillon, 10-1. Imagine he'll come down a little bit. And Satirical Glory, 9-1. So we got nice spread, smattering price wise. 1-8-12 with 6-8 with 1-2-6. The 7th, 8th, and 9th from the Valley where it's happy. Happy Valley. And let's turn our attention as well, Dick, to Presque. And I did not have a chance to to look at yesterday to see what kind of a day you had Tuesday.
I had a good day, and what was, I don't know what the word is, unusual, but we had some big fields yesterday.
Yeah, I saw it. Yeah.
Races. Yep. You know, and I noticed that when I print out the PPs, and if it's over 30 pages, I'm like, oh, there's only 8 races. So, and today's field sizes are okay. Many of the horses, even though the meet's only been open, this is the end of the third week, many of the horses have already raced at the meet, and that's the beauty of Tapita. So the horses can come back and get right back on the track. So I've sent you my picks, so they should be up somewhere. I'm not sure. PrescottoDowns.com has been posting them.
I've been putting them up at they're at our website, and I put them up at Derby Trail first, and then move them over to SteveBick.com, so it's in the selection room. I haven't put the Wednesday up yet, but I will shortly after you.
Okay,
give
perfect.
Us a couple of plays. Yeah, I'm getting into a nice beat with them. And I tell you, you're out ahead of it. You're years of experience, obviously. You don't mess around. You're a good 48 to 72 hours ahead.
Well, the good thing is the weather's not going to matter. The races are all on Tapita. So if it rains, it snows, whatever, it's not going to have a big effect. So I don't have to worry about those type changes off the turf, anything like that. So it's when the races get drawn like today, they draw Monday. So I like to have Monday in on Friday so that no one over there has to screw around with anything on the weekend. And that's how you work as a consultant, make people happy and move on.
I love it.
Years and years of experience. Race three today, Steve. Really nice optional claimer, 35,000. Only 5 going, but Samurai Prince for Bill Morey. Now, Bill had a winner yesterday at Presque Isle. I did not have him. Now, he has this one coming in. Had been at Turfway Park, Indiana. Does have some decent experience on Tapita, mostly out of town. He made his Presque Isle debut last start, chased a pretty fast pace right there at the wire, only beaten a length and a quarter. I think second time over the track. He should improve with Gallardo. So I'm going with him in a double between races 3 and 4. And then race 4 is a 25 claimer that I landed on Tim Ham, number 2, grounded from Blazing Meadows Farm. Went gate to wire, going 1.70 last October 17th. Now, if you look at your past performances, you're not going to see a claiming price. if you haven't raced in 6 months,
right,
and you come back at the same price that you had raced at, you can waive the claiming price. So grounded is then not eligible to be claimed, but you got to come back. You can't come back at 10 or 15. You ran at 25, you got to come back at 25. Tim Hand does that, drops his horse down. You end up running at 25, so I shouldn't say drop him down. Does have a couple of quick workouts and gets leading rider Pablo Morales, who's already hitting 30%.
Wow.
Through the first couple of weeks of Prescott. So we're going to go a cold double here with 3 and 2, and then do a late pick 3 beginning in race 6. These are 12-5 claimers. I like number 8, Round of Applause from Tim Gurdon. Gurdon's having a big season this year with the 30% winners. He claimed this horse 2 back, moved it up, and the horse ran well on the move up. So I think it fits well at this class level. So we're going to go number 8, Round of Applause. Where'd my other one go? Number 2, Conrado, Marcus Vitale. He shows up
in
Paradise.
Yep, saw that.
And he was at Tampa Bay and then shipped to Turf Paradise and now back east at Prescott. The horse fits. So we're going to go 8 and 2 in the first part of the pick 3. Second leg, these are state bred allowances, not winners of a race. Tim Gurdon sends out 5, Legend of Charlie. Also sends out number 6, Painted Warrior. So we have 2 from Gurdon, 1 ridden by Morales, the other ridden by Gallardo. I think those 2 are going to be very tough. And then we'll finish it up with a favorite here, a single in the last leg, number 2, Antigone, Scooter Davis. Been running against better, freshened up, returns off the layoff, but drops down in class. Just looks like if she's in any kind of fitness, she has a big class edge over these.
Wouldn't that be Antigone?
Yeah, Antigone, Antigone. I'm flexible, Steve.
I'm sorry. Andy Serling does it to me all the time. Don't feel bad.
I'm usually, what does Antigone mean? Because I'm usually pretty good.
Antigone is it Greek or it's Greek, right? She was now you're going to test my what do you call it, Greek tragedy type history, which I'm not great at, but it's, you know, it's mythological. Is it Plato or is it Sophocles? I think it's either Plato or Sophocles. It's one of those.
Well, why don't we call Fred Hudson and see what he thinks? He seems to be real smart. So to pick 3, 2-8 with 5-6 with 2 to finish up the day at Presque Isle. They are wandering around, getting close to the start at Happy Valley. Very quick handicapping lesson, Steve. Aiden O'Brien won his 9th Epsom Derby on Saturday.
Yes.
Was not the favorite. And this was a narrative issue because on Friday, Frankie won the Oaks and the Coronation Cup. But Frankie's on a roll. John Gosden on a roll. So the bet is made. Their horse, the favorite, the Judmon horse, can't remember the name. And Aiden's horse goes off at like 4-1. It was crazy. So it was pure narrative. I mean, it really had nothing to do with it. I think this horse is better than that horse. So he wins the race, and the interview after the race, Aiden O'Brien, I have never heard him effusive like that. This is the most important horse we have ever had.
Wow.
He went crazy talking about him. The dam is by Galileo. She's won 5 Group Ones. And he's by, and August Rodin is by Deep Impact. You know, when Deep Impact was still alive, they were sending Big Galileo mares there. So this was the result. So it was fascinating to hear his praise of the horse. It's just amazing to listen to.
Well,
all right, the red light's on. I can cut out and you can go to your next guest.
No, hold on. We're gonna listen to the race? Wasn't that the whole point of this?
I don't know. I know you're busy. I know you got people stopping by.
No. It's actually right now. It got quiet again. Although here's Sugie coming. Sugar Bear coming around around the corner. Yeah. he is. He's like a little plush toy, Shug. I think we're there. We go. Let me pull it up and
towards the outside, and SJ Torbjörn going back with Pegasus General. So Satirical Glory has gone forward as they come down in front of the stands on their first occasion, but their speed out wide from going forward, hit the shot, and also Bear Slam to make a line of three. Majestic Victory right behind them with Comet Splendido. Two to Intrepid Winner. Excuse me, followed by Pegasus Hero, who's back over on the inside. Turin Mascot came next, followed by Rocket Spade, and then came SJ Torbjörn Villa Fion, and Pegasus General has gone back to last. Up the side they travel, 13.57 and then 22.24, so the genuine pace is on here, and it is Satirical Glory for Matthew Poon. He's more relaxed tonight. He leads out by a length and a half. Bear Slam second, hit the shot third. Next is Majestic Victory, but he's covering ground with Comet Splendido there, and then came two lengths away, Intrepid Winner. Next on the inside is Pegasus Hero. Rocket Spade's got about four or five behind him. Turin Mascot to his outside. A length and a half to SJ Torbjörn Villa Fion. And last is Pegasus Hero. Down the back they go. The leader is Satirical Glory. Shows out by a length and a half at the 600 meters. Bear Slam second now, just clicked up, followed by Hit the Shot. Majestic Victory's had a pretty good run in the end. He got to one off, and then came Comet Splendido. Intrepid Winner. Turin Mascot around the outside. The leader's given them the slip at the 300 metres. Comet Splendido off the inside. There's a big wall of them chasing here. Rocket Spade has gone side. They're all chasing Satirical Glory. SJ Torbjörn winding up in the center, and he's gone whooshing straight past a lot of them. SJ Torbjörn from Rocket Spade, who looks like he's going to run second again, but SJ Torbjörn too strong. Rocket Spade is fifth, second placing. Turin Mascot's run third. Satirical Glory. And
well, I'll tell you what, how about that, Dick? That's a terrific, an absolutely terrific start to the sequence. I think we're looking at 10 to 1.
Very nice. Had the lead. Matthew Poon put the 12 on the lead, and then when he gave it up, boom, here comes the 8. SJ Torbjörn.
And one clear. This is Lyle Hewitson. And, you know, it's funny.
Dougie White.
Then Doug White. And it's funny because when I went through the odds, when you gave the choices, it was 4-1 morning line, and I said, well, you know, I think actually went up in price maybe he was 10-1 when we went through and held at 10-1. So that's a terrific way to start. So now we need the 6-8 next and the 1-2-6, and guaranteed to be juicy.
Now, the big thing is got to get through the next leg, because they pay the first two legs of the third leg.
Right.
So with a big long shot to kick off, even a favorite winning, a lesser priced horse will still pay pretty well if it runs second. So we're hoping to win them all, but that's a nice start. Yes, that's set up beautifully. And, you know, the favorite in the race was vulnerable.
Well done. Well done. And actually, who was? Let me go back, Dick. Because they'll post. They post the. Who was second? It was their.
That's showing up the replay.
Yeah, I see. Because plenty of people. There's plenty of people I hear from, and they afterward they say, we didn't hit the pick three, but I boxed Dick's three horses here and caught the exacta, et cetera, so. Let's see them. Yeah, you keep an eye on that. While we're doing that, let me mention the air quality story. Yesterday, Finger Lakes, they called it off after the third, and they've canceled for today again, and Delaware just canceled for today and tomorrow, and I What's funny is here it is not, it's not nearly what we dealt with yesterday and last night. So there isn't a hint of the smell in the air, and I suppose it's because of the winds, because it is breezy. So this has got to be monitored. I'll make a couple of feelers as well and see if we can't get any, because they're people. I think people are shocked to find out that HISA has air quality control provisions.
Here's the nutty thing with me. I have been on this for a couple of weeks. And the reason being is a lot of times I sit outside with the dog and I look up at the sky and I look for jets flying at 30,000 feet and which way they're going and stuff. Well, for the last couple of weeks, it's not that you can't see the jets. Now you can, but the sun's not reflecting off of them because of the haze. So I'd be looking up and, where are all the jets? Where'd they go? So then naturally I talked to Jim Corns, who's expert on all things aviation. He gets me turned on to this app, Flight Radar 24, that tells you the plane, the altitude, the Boeing's 777. That's awesome. But then it's gotten worse and worse. So now I don't even bother looking. You can't see any jets up there now.
But
they started in Western Canada. Then the fires were Nova Scotia.
Right.
But because of the circular, they were coming over, and now it's like up in Quebec, but the pattern's been north to south, so it's just coming straight down on us. So that's crazy stuff.
Huh. All right, we're going to find out anything else we can. I can tell you, by the way, Dick, that the one was second, and...
Apparently, the tractor looked like $80 or something.
Well, and actually, our friend Steve Garland hit, and he said the probable was closer to 100.
All right.
Nicely done.
Yeah, well, the one was the logical one, and the 8 and 12 were the ones that had the upset chance. So.
$100, two. That's a $2 exacta, but $100, right. $100 for the 8-1 exacta. Excellent. Good job, Dick.
All right. Very good. Thank you.
You're welcome. All right, Dick, I'm going to pull up, and I'm going to see if I can't. I think we'll head to the break. Again, for those of you that punched the ticket, 6-8 next. We're 22 minutes from the Shun Ling handicap. And currently, they have not refreshed the it hasn't gone official in the seventh, so we don't have, the anti-post or the pre-betting odds, but 6-8 in the eighth, 1-2-6.
No, 6.
Yeah,
6-10, Steve.
Oh, I'm sorry. Thank you. Yep, 6-10. 6-10 in the eighth and 1-2-6 in the ninth.
1-2-6.
Very good, Dick.
Perfect. Okay.
Good luck this weekend. We will be recapping, and when next week, of course, we'll start to turn our attention. Well, in addition to Tina and I having vacation, going to France, we will be looking toward Royal Ascot, which will be on the horizon. One of the
that's coming up fast.
Well, yep. it's always been it's become anyway, sort of an easy way to kind of glide into the end of the first half of the broadcast year before Saratoga.
Yeah.
Dick Powell, everybody, HKJC.
Okay. Thanks, Dave.
Thanks, buddy. And Presque Isle, and I'll put the Presque Isle plays up in just a couple of minutes. In fact, I'll do it on the break. In that case, let's head to the break, if we could. There's... There's also opportunity. We'll talk. He's going to come tomorrow. Joe Longo will join us tomorrow from NYRA. We'll go through the card. and in terms of the betting menu. All right, we'll do that with Joe. Andy, by the way, is going to end up joining us live tomorrow instead. He had other broadcast commitments that came up. So Andy begged off today, but he said, how about live tomorrow? So I said that was good. 11 o'clock, Andy live. All right, so we'll do that. Dick, thanks to Dick. We'll come back with Sid Fernando next. And we'll see about maybe getting Shuggy here for a minute. Live from Belmont Park. Stay with us.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve.